Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff.
We are It's The Real, and we are guest hosting the Juice Podcast.
Right, but today it's the Jews Podcast.
The Jews Podcast, yeah. Right. Erica is out sick today. We hope she feels better. But we do have a special guest, which is Fabulous.
What's up?
What's happening?
I'm blessed, man. I can't complain.
Yeah?
Who would listen? You know?
I mean, you have all these listeners to listen, so let's just go.
They right, don't want to hear me complain. They don't want to hear that. They might just turn us off. So let's just live this rapper lifestyle and everything is glorious.
Yo, it's so lit.
Bitches
here
are hanging.
It is.
Yeah.
Bitches are hanging from the ceiling. And panties.
Sparklers
panties
in, around, in our Poland Spring.
Yeah.
Happy
bring
All-Star.
More champagne. More champagne, please. Yes.
Happy All-Star Weekend.
Yeah. All-Star Weekend in New York. I don't think that's been since like the 90s or late 90s, early 2000s.
How are you celebrating?
Well, I got a couple events. Got a couple parties. So it's going to be pretty lit.
Yeah.
Are you going to either the Saturday night festivities or the Sunday game?
I was going to go to the Sunday game.
And then?
And then I have a party that night. A really big party with a bunch of rap guys.
Wow, you're giving a lot of specifics. Like, it's almost like I'm there, you know?
Yeah, I just don't want to, you know what I mean? I don't want to spoil it for the listeners, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
I just want them to, like, imagine what can be there. And like,
well, this is going to come out after
crazy
that. I think.
Maybe it'll come out tomorrow.
I don't know. Yeah, there's no rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm lost in the dates here. You know, all I know is that it's lit.
Let me just say congratulations on the Young OG project.
Thank you.
It moved something like 70,000 units first week, right?
Yep.
And that was that's, you know, no video really.
Yeah.
No major.
Pretty basic,
you know, radio
really
push. It wasn't like the label had this big plan and put into action because you did that in 1 month.
Yeah, I actually came to the label November 19th. I maybe sat a couple days before with, like, my management, with Roc Nation, and just came with them like, yo, I got this idea, and can we make this idea happen? And when I first went to Def Jam, you know, of course they didn't see it happen in a month, but then I was like, well, I want to do it digital. So mm-hmm. I figured that, you know, in this day and age, digital is the way to do things fast.
Did you take into consideration that record label shut down on, like, December 2nd?
Yeah, that was another tricky thing. We really had till about, I want to say, the 14th, 15th or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know iTunes shut down. iTunes actually shuts down on Christmas. I thought iTunes was like a fucking 7-Eleven or some shit.
Yeah,
like,
if
you know,
you,
man,
if,
like,
if you look at DJ Khaled's Instagram, he's on the phone with iTunes all the time,
yeah,
and says
every
that
day.
He loves that it's a 24/7 operation.
All the time,
yeah,
man. And you know, either iTunes, you know, was trying to shit on me or Khaled's lying.
Khaled is talking into like a stack of money, so
right,
maybe it's not really.
I don't know how the reception
not,
is.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, you guys bad reception.
But does that give you any sort of like different idea on how to move in 2015, considering that, you know, you were prior to that, besides mixtapes, you were actually like moving physical units. Like, mm-hmm, that was a real part of the whole plan.
Yeah, it was definitely the same plan as almost the mixtapes, but, you know, doing it through the digital and online space, because, you know, that's where I feel like it's it's kind of going there. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody is getting music, downloading or have it on their phones, and you know, there's still a couple, you know, dinosaurs buying CDs, but you know, I'm joking. Well, please buy my CD.
Yeah, yeah.
We're about to re-release some of that.
The whole South still buys CDs because they actually put it in their cars and ride around to it.
Yeah, right. I still, at some point, you know, maybe we'll check out a CD here and there too. You know,
as a joke or something.
It's not ancient. Yeah, it's not. You know,
as a novelty item.
You know, you dust the cobwebs off it. Yeah. And then you just pop it in. But I think, you know, I just think that was the wave, and that was the way it was going. And you know, it's getting deeper. You know, each way, you know, kind of takes out the way before it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The way vinyl did 8-track and CD did vinyl, or tape did vinyl, then CD did tape, and now downloading is kind of doing it to CD.
But now streaming is doing it to downloading.
Streaming is maybe doing it to downloading. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the next thing you know, I don't even know what's after that, man.
It's just Instagram videos.
You just make Instagram songs.
Yeah.
You know, that snippets. 15 seconds was dope, man. Yeah. Yo.
But there's an art in there because you have to get it to, like, loop exactly right now. You know, like, you saw Instagram has, like, the Vine feature now where it just loops automatically.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yo, catch up.
Yo, I'm, like, so ancient, man. Like, I'm such a fossil. Like, man, shit. Change my rap name to Fossil.
If you were to like change your name, would you change? I mean, would you change it at all?
I feel like you sort of have though. Like you have all these like different.
I have all these little monikers. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I guess that's come from being around a while.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta start just finding new ways to play with your name and reinvent your name, kinda. You know, I think the guys who've been around have done it. You know, Jay-Z has had 30 names.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know.
Can we talk about the greatest, though, which is 2 Chainz? Like,
2 Chainz.
That.
Yeah.
Changing it from Titty Boy actually, like, revitalized his career.
Now, that was a complete, like, change. Yeah. Like, the other ones are, like, nicknames and what, like.
Right.
He actually saw, like, he had a vision in his sleep or something. And it was just like, yo, woke up like, yo, I'm 2 Chainz. No more Titty Boy, I'm 2 Chainz.
Did you know him back in the sort of, like...
In the Titty Boy, though?
In the DTP, like,
you know,
Duffel Bag
I had
Boys.
Met him a few times, and, you know, he was always a cool dude, you know what I'm saying, without being 2 Chainz. Yeah. He was Titty Boy, he was a cool dude, too, so, you know.
Would you call him Titty Boy? Would you be like, what's up, Tit?
I think some people do still call him Titty Boy. Like, some people don't make that transition over. You know what I mean? They like, man, I knew you when you was Titty Boy. You still Titty Boy to me. I don't care how many chains you got on, you still Titty Boy.
That's how I am with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always like, you're still Titty Boy to me.
Yeah, always. When you, obviously, there's a trade deadline coming up for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite trade is not actually in the NBA. It was when you were traded for Music Soulchild.
Yeah.
Do you ever run into like Mike Kaiser or Julie Greenwald and just say, you know what, that trade made me play harder, and I record music just thinking of you guys, and it's
well, really, it was a trade where I kind of wanted to get out of the situation as well. I just felt like it was
a
stalling,
right? Yeah.
It wasn't lit at all, and it was just kind of stalling. And I also, I don't know if I ever said this, but I think I felt like it was a transition to where not just South music was getting bigger, but I feel like the artists were getting bigger because the music was getting bigger. And I think I felt like those guys up there were more leaning towards that way. And, you know, I was the cool New York rapper, but when you got something bubbling over here on the pot, you know, and you want to kind of pay attention to it. And, you know, that's when, you know, guys like T.I. was arriving and,
Plies,
you know, Plies and Trick Daddy, you know, they had those guys. So I just seen a maybe a little bit of an attention shift, and I just didn't, you know, I just felt like maybe, you know, it was a time for me to move. So I guess that's really where the trade kind of came from. You know, I kind of was, you know, not, and it was a while before my album, because my last album there was in 2004, and then the next time I put out an album was 2007. So it was a while before, you know, that whole thing happened. It took a while, a couple years in between there. So, you know, I definitely was, you know, cool with it being switched over. And I had no hard feelings really towards them, because I'm pretty logical and I understood what was going on. But at the same time, I felt like, you know, it was it was, if you, and I just got there. So I kind of just got there. We put out an album and we kind of had a song end up blowing up that probably was the last song of that kind to blow up from New York, which was Breathe.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, that's when, you know, it started getting, the South started getting more prominent and where really the Mason-Dixon line, I guess if you say, was,
Doug.
Was no more. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Music started infiltrating up to New York, and you know, so you know, I just think overall the trade was no hard feelings. I'd seen Kaiser at the Nets game recently. I actually just seen Julie Greenwald and Craig Kaumann at the Grammys Sunday. So you know, it was definitely, and she seen me and was like, "Hey, Fab," and I looked back, "Oh, Julie." What's up? And Craig was there, and I was like, "What's up, Craig?" You know what I'm saying? And Julie said, "Yo, you look nice." And you know, I guess it was, you know, it was like, "Wow, this guy's still around. He's gonna trade him, and he would fucking go live on a cardboard box somewhere." And, you know, but it worked out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, worked out for me.
Yeah, it worked out
for you. Yep, That's the important part. So, like, you know, speaking of the mid, you know, early 2000s, mid 2000s, I feel like you were the one New York rapper to not get into any problems with 50 Cent.
Yeah, that was, I don't know. I didn't plan that. I guess, you know, we didn't really, cross paths in that way.
But he was trying to sign
which
you.
Which is good for me because he would have got shot 10 more times.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm joking.
Fabulous the Gangster.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, he at one point he did reach out. You know, I think it was actually in between the time of that 04, 07 thing, too, because, you know, like I said, I had done music prior to that, and it didn't really look. You know, sometimes a year or so can go by where you still are moving around and songs are floating around and stuff, and it doesn't look like you're dormant. It wasn't like I was completely out. So it still was around, but maybe he had heard through the grapevines that there was something not going on. And it was a situation that I even, you know, took heed to. He wanted to, you know, I was working with some guys at that time, and he wanted to give me a situation to, you know, to give these guys a light as well. And also he was a New York rapper who was prominent and blowing up as well. So, you know, only thing is just, you know, he had a lot of artists on his roster. Right. And
yeah, he had Mace at that time, M.O.P.
Yeah, he was just like, you know, kind of just Walmart in the game a little bit. And which was cool, and it was looking like a very powerful roster. I just, you know, I just didn't know if I fit, you know what I'm saying, and I didn't want to mess up, or it could have helped or hindered, you know what I'm saying? I just didn't know if I was ready for that change at that point. And, you know, but you never know. And those are decisions that, you know, in your career, whether you went or stayed. And I guess I kind of chose to stay in that situation. But, you know, it was definitely the offer and the opportunity was there.
Yeah. You're well known to be a shoe guy. We saw you did the Complex thing with Jola Puma. Everybody knows that you love shoes and appreciate shoes. And I mean, look, you get the biggest cosign from Clark Kent, so you're a real shoe guy.
Yeah. I mean, I really have been like this since like I was a teen. Like this is before, right? But when I was, you know, selling crack to get sneakers, that's what you know, there's no other emphasis to put on it that if you're like selling drugs to get sneakers. So, you know, it really goes back to, you know, just me having a natural love for them. I don't really know what it was. I don't know if it was just the feeling of new, you know, you growing up in a housing project with not much money, and you know, you could put on a new pair of shoes and feel like, you know, you're a different person. You know what I mean? And I think it started from there. And you
still have that love today.
Yeah.
Have you gotten gifted by Don C or Kanye with their new shoes?
I haven't, but what's so funny is that I spoke to
God.
Kanye.
Close, yeah.
AKA
yeah.
God. AKA yeah. God. I spoke to Kanye yesterday and was talking about the shoes, and he was, you know, it was hard because I know he was very busy with, you know, the release of the shoes and everything that's going on. And, you know, you're married to Kim Kardashian. You got to be busy,
He's
you know
busy
what I'm saying?
Guy.
So, And he was just like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, get you the shoes and stuff. So, you know.
Is that something where you just say, yo, I'm going to size this? And he's like, okay, I got you.
Yeah, I seen an Instagram pic where they had, like, you know, boxes laid out. And when I seen them, I was like, yo, my box was just probably, like, too high on the pic. So, you know how you have to swear. Yeah.
He got cropped out, you know.
And he was like, you know, he laughed it off. But I was serious.
Do you like those Don C. Jordan
twos? I do. Yeah. I think they're cool.
I saw one of the Kentucky players, like, wear them in a game.
Oh, or?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dope.
I wonder if you get the ankle support.
Maybe. They're the twos. They're high. They're high top. So, and I think it's more about, you know, if you break your ankle, at least you broke them in some Don C.
Right. Yeah. You know. Everyone has, you know what? Hip hop has always had, like, side hustles and other, like, kinds of ways to diversify their money. So it's not like people haven't had clothing lines or, like, liquor deals or whatever. But I feel like now it's even more specific to, like, people's personal interests. It's not, like, just a general thing.
Sure.
So, like, Styles and Jada had their juice bars.
Right.
Like Bun B, you know, is a professor, and
I'm supposed to get up to Styles' juice bar. Have you guys been?
Haven't been yet.
Haven't been yet.
I want to go too.
Yeah.
What are you doing
after this?
Yeah, no.
I can't do it right now.
Okay, all right.
I got other situations
going on. We'll do that after.
One of these bitches in here says that she has a good time for me coming up. You know,
she has her own juice bar. Yeah.
Do you have any ways that you're sort of like, I mean, is it any passion projects that you sort of invest in out there that are, it's not rap specific?
I just took a place into, the merch lane, like, you know, just, you know, a lot of fans used to come up to me and was like, yo, why don't you have, you know, just merchandise for us, like, to pick up as, like, a fan just telling you, like, yo, you're slipping. Like, what the fuck? Like, you know what I'm saying? So I was just like, you know what? All right. You know, I put some T-shirts and snapbacks and stuff like that together. Other things I started was a foundation called A Fabulous Way, which, you know, I'm from New York City, an inner city kid. And, you know, I remember, you know, growing up how much I appreciated things being brought to my neighborhood that can give you an opportunity to do something else. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times kids get into things because they have shit else to do. You know, they don't have any other option but to, you know, be out in the streets and start, you know, wandering there. And so, you know, I'm trying to do different things throughout different communities, you know, whether it's, you know, revamp a community center, bring games in there. You know, sometimes there is community centers, but they're, you know, piss poor and they don't have any games. And you can bring board games, whatever it is, you know, to just bring something to do. You know, those games will bring people in there. You bring an Xbox in there, those kids are coming in now and sitting there all night and play Xbox rather than standing in the hallways and smoke weed. So, you know, it's just about providing an opportunity, because I remember being that kid. And, you know, even the community center in my neighborhood, you know, there were times where it was dry. It was, you know, it would start at the beginning of the school year, and they would have a bunch of things. But, you know, kids break them up. This, and by November, it looks like this room. Like, there's nothing in there. And,
No. This room has champagne bottles and sparklers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, besides that, I mean, a room like this. Just like tables and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Minus the bitches and champagne.
Right. Yeah. And, speaking of champagne and sparklers and all that, I'm a tall person. You're fairly tall. I think that you are tall as well. Do you ever get worried that the sparkler is going to burn your head?
Nah, I kind of stay away from the sparklers a little bit, man. I am, you know.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, I'm old enough that I seen the Michael Jackson Pepsi commercial back in the days. So I kind of like any of that kind of stuff. I'm kind of like side-eyed it and already you know, aware of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the young kids, they don't know about that.
No, that's why we need to do some PSAs.
Yeah.
You...
Rest in peace, Michael Jackson.
Yeah. You're a... You know, everyone knows how funny you are on all the social media, the different forms of social media. How aware are you when a lot of the fans out there are like, hey, we want you to actually get into the studio when you find a studio, that whole thing, for, you know, to respond to Kendrick? Or how aware are you when they're like, how come you haven't put a video out for Cuffin Season? Mm-hmm. And or if they want, like, the ball drop video to drop sooner, like, how aware of you are you?
Some things is... Sometimes I just, most of it I just see and just, it's still about really to me just doing when I feel it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, kids on social media, they of course have their opinions, their thoughts, their wants, their needs. But, you know, at the same time, you know, even with videos sake, I want the videos to be right before they're mm-hmm. to the world. So I don't give a fuck how bad you saying I'm fucking taking forever for it or whatever like that. I'm making sure that the quality of the video that I'm putting out is to my liking.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, I keep tweeting you to respond to Kendrick.
Oh, the control verse.
Yeah.
You know what happened with that? I remember at the time it happened when I first heard it. I was like every other rapper in the universe. It was kind of like, you took a little offense to it, kind of, but at the same time, mine was different because it was more of the New York thing. And once I got down into, did the knowledge to it, and he was reciting a corrupt verse or something like that, where he was, you know, it's almost kind of like where, who recites people? Like Jay will say a Biggie right, line. Biggie, yeah. You know, so once I figured that out, and I don't think a lot of people even knew that, so that's why, it goes over people's head, and they just automatically, yo, he's saying he the king of New York, what? I'm writing my verse right now. And that's kind of where I was, too, because I wasn't, you know, that hip to every corrupt line, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, once I did the knowledge to it, I was like, okay, it's not as, you know, worthy for a ether verse, what I'm saying? And, you know, somebody even talked to me and was like, you know, like, I guess as you're younger, in a younger mind state, your first thing is to instantly snap back, speak your mind on what's the name. But, you know, I guess as you get older and you mature, you know what I'm saying? You still have that. Nah. So as you older and mature, you think about what you're doing before you're doing it a little bit sometimes. And that's what I think that was my first time having to do that.
I think it worked to your favor.
Well, also, like, Papoose had already responded for you, so, like, it was fine. Yeah. Like,
there was a couple guys that started, you know, I think Joel Ortiz did, like, a New York. Then there was guys who was on the thing that were offended. I think Meek Mill did a verse or something like that, too. And J. Cole was upset. I don't think he did a verse, but he put in a later rap about how he felt. Yep. And Drake and Kendrick had a thing.
Yeah.
A tiff. It was people offended, and I remember I tweeted, is there any studios open or something like that?
Yep.
And it's funny, like every once in a while I'll see that tweet, like somebody just retweets it. And I'm like, yo, I've been to the studio 10 million times already. But it's still like a funny tweet. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's still like somebody just poking at me. Like,
That's me, by the way. But wait, what do you think about what Kendrick is doing now? Have you heard Black of the Berry?
I heard Black of the Berry the other day. I like Black of the Berry. I like Black of the Berry a little bit more than I liked I.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like he was going in a different direction. So I guess... Black of the Berry helped bring me back from I.
I wonder if they put out I, you know, with Black of the Berry being the follow up on purpose, just being like, all right, this is our pop song.
Yeah, I mean, like that was like obviously a plan. Mm-hmm. Like they were like, okay, like this is how we're gonna do this. But I felt like that if you're putting out the first single and there's such like huge expectations for it, why would you do that and sort of like hang it out there? You know,
I though also just represented a different, even his look is like he was in a different vibe. The video was a different, you know what I'm saying? So I just wasn't, I guess, ready for that. But Black of the Berry is more deeper down into, you know, the Kendrick Lamar that, you know, that I like.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any feelings on the whole Kanye Beck thing that happened at the Grammys? Did you know if you were backstage, right? Like for some of the.
Yeah. I sat outside some of it and then I went backstage. That was a new experience. That was anytime I do something, especially if it's something that I've done already, I'm sometimes mostly looking for a new experience in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like even in restaurants, like if I go to a restaurant a lot and I eat the same thing, sometimes I'll try something on just different just so I could have a different experience that time. I tried this and it was horrible, I tried this and it was good, you know. It can help or hinder you as well. So with the Grammys, I tried the backstage experience just to see, and it actually was cool. It was like being on the inside a little bit and seeing what's going on and seeing who talks to each other and seeing Madonna come down the thing and talk to nobody and roll her eyes as she walks by, and seeing Paul McCartney with still the coolest bop at the Grammys walking down the thing like he has a bop in his step or something, like a 5-year-old kid walking down the hallway. And, you know, so it was cool to see those things, you know, from that. Somebody came to me, my guy Lenny S. came to me. It's like, yo, you want to come backstage with me and Jay and Beyonce's performance? So, you know, he said this is a thing that they do all the time. He sit out in the hallway and chop it up and have a drink. And, you know, it's kind of a little looser than sitting out in your seat.
Where you're not allowed to get up to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. And clapping, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I like that album. That was great. So it's a little looser than that.
This is the best perk of being signed to Roc Nation, I feel like. That's
You know, you get those little rollovers, you know, those little perk hand-me-downs, you know what I'm saying? So.
That's pretty amazing. That's like that's how we feel when we go backstage at, like, Summer Jam or something like that. It's just, like, a whole bunch of people who know each other.
You just get shot at Summer Jam. So
that's very specific to me. Yeah. You know what I mean? But did you have any reaction to the Kanye Beck thing? Did you know it was happening?
Oh, back to that. Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't. I thought it was a funny joke. Yeah. Kanye going up there and coming back down. Later on, I don't know if he was that much joking anymore, and he was like, "Beck should have just gave Beyonce the award."
Yeah.
I mean, that's Kanye's opinion. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Beck felt that way. And I don't think Beck was giving any awards to anybody either. I know I wouldn't. I don't care if I robbed it. You know, if I pulled the Beck and everybody thinks that Beyonce should have won, I'm going to walk out of there like, look, I won, okay? It's over.
You're like, price is going up right now. Yeah. Like, I don't care about anybody else. I want to talk about probably the most important question that I bring to the table, which is that I feel like there's a lot of rappers who might wear fake glasses. You yourself are not one of them.
Fake glasses? What's like fake glasses?
Glasses that don't have any lenses in them or have no prescription.
Oh, I've wore fake glasses then.
Really?
Yeah, I don't wear prescription. I don't need prescription. My eyes are pretty good. So when I wear like some frames, they don't have.
Wow. I felt like we were on the same side.
You thought I needed, like, a prescription.
You as somebody who wears prescription glasses.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, like, me and Fab, like, this is our thing. And then it's just, like, me and Rich Homie Quan, I guess, or something. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm definitely a 20/20 vision guy, so.
See, now you're just rubbing it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of fucked up.
There's levels to prescriptions. So.
Yeah.
did you, obviously, we're all looking forward to the ball drop
video.
And actually, you shot another video where you're like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple videos coming out.
Yep.
I think Ball Drop is the best song off the project. I think the whole project is awesome. And by the way, that and the last Soul Tape both have great re-listenability. Like,
thank you.
They're really solid. But Ball Drop is by far like the best song and is an earworm, and it's great.
Yeah.
How far back do you know French Montana? Do you know him from the DVD days?
Yeah, I definitely do. I do remember French running up on me with DVDs, and I'm like, hey, hey. And my peoples are like, hey, what the fuck? What are you doing? He's like, ah. But, yeah, I remember French with the DVDs. The Cocaine City DVDs, man. And I remember, you know, in that Max B time.
Yeah. Was he moving around with Nicki back then?
I think I kind of missed the Nicki and him thing. And I think it was a lot of it, I think, was in Atlanta, too. Mm-hmm. You know, they had connected through, I think, Waka Flocka.
Yep, Deb.
And so that's where I don't think I seen them much in New York. I used to see Nicki around in New York more like when she was moving around, starting a thing, and she was under Fendi at that time, and like Fendi used to be always come up to, yo man, I'm telling you, this girl Nicki Minaj, and you know, that's all I really remember.
Yeah,
you know, they both were like, you know, grinding in their own right, you know what I'm saying? And I was kind of who I was at that point already, and I was you know, so I always in anything take notice of what's going on too, you know what I'm saying? It's sometimes it takes time for, you know, people to find their niche or find the right person to connect to, and you know, but I definitely remember both of those guys.
Like, yeah, we when we did sketches at the beginning of our career, like SNL type sketches, Sycamore came to us. This is like 07. Sycamore came to us and he's like, I got this girl named Nicki Minaj and you should totally have her on your show. And we're like, we're good. We're good. Thanks. And
then that was,
she's just out of here.
Haven't heard from her since. But yeah, that was probably our biggest professional regret.
Yeah. But did the whole French sort of career surprise you? Like this guy who was doing DVDs ends up, I mean, being a big time major label artist, and then you're having him guest on a song of yours, and it's
not surprising, but it definitely showed work ethic. You know what I'm saying? Because I guess, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, if they work at something and, you know, it gains attention. You know, it's an open lane for it. You know, I guess it's kind of the same way when rappers' friends end up rapping. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, yeah, all right, we next to you, and you know, next thing you know, we're learning, and you know, one day they walk in the studio like, hey, check this out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you know, Cam'ron started with Jim Jones, was just, you know, his right hand man, and you know, now Jim Jones is rapping, and you know, it goes back that far, and Little C's, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's kind of where it came from. And it what is crazy about the story is, you know, like you said, he kind of was, you know, just a DVD guy and more under Max and really just hustling, you know, hustling the streets really, and you know, trying to make a way, and then, you know, ended up that way, ended up becoming an artist. So
I have one more question. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I have a very important question. Okay. Just like the glasses thing. So I like to imagine that hip hop is sort of like, you know, the same way that like a company would work, you know, like an office place. And that, you know, you have people that you like and people that maybe sit by you and do like annoying things and you don't really like them as much. So I was wondering, what's the strangest grudge that you have against another rapper? Maybe like somebody coughs weird, or like they have like sweaty hands every time you meet them, or
you don't need to, you know, share their names.
You don't need to say their name, but like, what's like something that you've noticed and you've just been like, wow, like that person is consistently like doing this one thing?
There is sweaty hand guys. There are a lot of them. And one, I will give you his name just because I don't like it so much. I don't want you to see this guy and he catches you with the sweaty hand and gives you both daps.
Mm-hmm.
And you standing there like in shock looking for sanitizer. So this guy's name is Conceited. He's on the battle rap circuit. He's a friend of mine, but he has SpongeBob hands. Man. Sponge hands. Yes.
How do you adapt to that? Do you just like sort of like fist bumps? Or like even an elbow?
Give him a towel.
Wow.
You just come out with one glove, like he doesn't see your head. And then he goes, you get your dap, you have a like one of those yellow squeaky.
Oh my god.
Yo, we have to play that prank on him, man.
Yeah.
We have to come and all of us just have on that little yellow glove.
It'd be terrible if he tried to shake with like the left hand. Then it's like, no,
it's no, like it's over for that.
Yeah.
No, you can't give people daps with left hand. Do people left-handed people give left-handed daps? I thought all daps are kind of like.
I've never met a left-handed person.
No. They're out here.
They exist. Yeah.
Guys.
All right, my last question is, well, I guess it's a two-part question. You were raised a Knicks fan, right?
Yeah, pretty much. My uncle is a really big Knicks fan. He's a New York team fan anyway, yeah. So I always kind of rolled under that. But I also loved the Bulls at the time because of Michael Jordan, of course.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Really? How does that go over with, like, you know, your classmates?
Really didn't. Yeah. It kind of hurts because he was like a dagger in the Knicks kind
of. Yeah, I've never worn a pair of Jordans because of.
Strictly for
yeah,
that.
Because of, like, 90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. But I imagine today, I mean, you have some affiliation with the Brooklyn Nets, obviously. Mm-hmm. You did the opening for them, right?
Yeah, I did the opening. I've done a few things with the Nets. They're cool people.
But focusing on the Knicks, they've been really, really bad, especially this year, and they're in a rebuilding mode. If Sean Pekas said, hey, Fab, I got front row tickets, I got courtside tickets to, like, Knicks Nuggets on a Tuesday night, are you going?
Yeah, I'll go.
Even if Carmelo sits out the second half?
I mean, but I have to be there for him to see that he gets sits out the second half. So it doesn't start at the second half. It starts at the first quarter. So I would definitely go, though. It's always still an experience. It's always good energy. They could luck up and win that night, you know.
So, we're still talking about the Knicks.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to support, like, Gallinari? Like,
I'm going.
Once a Knick, always a Knick.
I'm going as a Knick person, and I mean as a New York person.
Yeah. Have you ever been
a Knick person at all?
Have you ever been interviewed?
Right. And get my face up there. Yeah. That,
have you been interviewed by Jill Martin at halftime?
Who's Jill Martin?
She's the MSG.
She does Celebrity Row.
Yeah, Celebrity Row. They do that, like,
she'll
you know.
Be like, oh, I'm here with
Ben Stiller.
So I'll probably have.
You don't
it's
remember?
All blur.
I just.
Man, the life you live. It's just interviews all the time.
It's the bitches and champagne in here, man. I'm drunk. Bitches are distracting me. I can't remember all these things. Right now. You know what I mean?
Rapper life. Well, Fab, we really appreciate you coming in. Erica Ramirez, we hope you feel better.
You're slurring over words.
I know,
yeah,
I know.
Listen.
It's just crazy. It's we're about that life. I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff.
Yeah, it's the real, and we appreciate you, Fab.
Thank you, man. This was a lituation.